Paul, when he was writing the book of Romans, makes some things very clear to us. The greatest need of any person today is to be saved. And the great majority of people today believe that salvation is by something they do, or that the grace of God is intermingled with what they do. And so there's a lot of false ideas and misconceptions, and the Apostle Paul makes it very clear, especially in the book of Romans, concerning salvation. Notice as I read, beginning in verse 1 of Romans chapter 3, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mayest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our righteousness, or if our unrighteousness, commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. I thought about this sermon or message, and I thought about there is a tremendous need today of people that we know and love to be saved, that are not saved. Every time that we meet, it is our aim that we might preach the gospel, and that it might please the great God of heaven to save those that are lost. We even have this up on our heart and our prayer this morning, that it might please God to save some lost sinner in the service this morning. This is a great salvation. Like I said at the beginning, you talk to people constantly that know the truth and believe the truth, and then you talk to people that are around the truth and are under the truth, and yet when you talk to them about salvation, you get an impression from them that they don't fully understand what salvation really is. That they are trying to establish their own righteousness whereby that they might be saved. That's probably even true in our church. I pray that it would not be, but that's probably even true, that we have those that have made a profession of faith, but yet have not possessed the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And there's a lot of this that goes on with that. All this that happens, and there's no way that we can 100% guard against this, because we can't see the hearts of men. We don't know what God is doing in the hearts of men, women, and boys and girls. But I do know that Paul makes it clear here in this chapter 3 about our great salvation. And he goes down and talks about, at the end of this chapter, about just being justified or justification. Now we know that the definition of justification is a legal term where one is declared righteous. I've said this so many times. You within yourself are not righteous, but you are declared righteous. And we'd have to go to the next chapter, which is the fourth chapter. You have a righteousness that is imputed to you. It is charged to your account. It is yours because God gives it to you. But what we need to understand is that we don't have that kind of righteousness. And so I believe this is what Paul is talking about. And he makes this clear in this chapter in verse 10 and verse 23. And I often, when witnessing to people or talking to people, sometimes they can get the idea that you're saying that you're better than me and that I'm the worst person that ever lived. That's not what we're saying, because the Bible talks about that all of us are on equal footing and equal basis, because all of our righteousness in the sight of God is as filthy rags. And look what he says here in verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And then in verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I believe that what we see in this passage of Scripture is that we have no righteousness. Amen. Now we need to be righteous in order to stand before God. It is a necessity that we be righteous. Now the thought is, how can we become righteous? And this is the only way that we'll ever be able to stand before Almighty God. Now, I believe that in this passage of Scripture, Paul clearly explains that justification, and he explains this in verse 21 down through verse 23. Now, let's notice, first of all, now the Jews had a problem with this. Now, look in verse 21. But now, he's been talking about, we don't have any righteousness. He's been talking about our righteousness is a filthy rag. But now notice what he says. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Now we're going to see who that is, and we're going to see what that is. And he says it's being witnessed by the law and by the prophets. Now what we're going to see in this passage of scripture is the law produced no righteousness. That was the problem with the children of Israel, or that was the problem with the Jews. They went about to establish their own righteousness, and they thought they could do that by keeping the law. There's a lot of law righteousness people today that feel like that they can obtain a righteousness or be all right by just keeping the commandments and obeying the law. But the Word of God declares that not to be so. But look what he says. But now the righteousness of God. Now that's what a person must have in order to be saved and in order to stand before Almighty God. You must be clothed with righteousness. And so we see men today want law righteousness. And men today want works righteousness. You can preach about this kind of righteousness of God and how that it's imputed righteousness, and people say, I don't believe that. The problem is they want something whereby that they can obtain or merit themselves something they can do. And righteousness don't come that way. Now Paul has proved the law condemns and the law cannot save. Look in verse 19 and verse 20. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. And I believe we see the purpose of it. Now look at verse 20. Therefore by the deeds of the law, that is by keeping the law. You know, remember the rich young ruler said, well, all of these have I kept from my youth up. Well, you can keep part of the law and still not be saved and go and die and go to a devil's hell. And this was true with the children of Israel. And Paul is trying to emphasize it. Now remember today, and I see this so much, I see people that say they're saved, and then when I talk to them, they've got a law righteousness or they've got a works righteousness. Some of these people are my own flesh and blood. They're my kinfolk. And they're not trusting the Lord to get to heaven. They're trusting what they do and whether they do enough to get to heaven. And there's a multitude of people. There ain't none of us good enough or don't have anything whereby that we can get to heaven of ourselves. He says, therefore by the deeds of the law, that is, keep them off, there shall no flesh. That means not any person, not anybody, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. I like what the Philippian jailer said to the Apostle Paul. Said, what must I do to be saved? And they said to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But people want more than that. They want to visit the hospitals and be saved. They want to cook meals for their neighbors and be saved. Now, all these things are good. And I'm not condemning these things. But and they want to befriend those that are downtrodden and be saved. But that's not the way that righteousness comes. Amen. It doesn't come that way. This grace was seen in the Old Testament. The same grace that we're seeing here in this was seen in the Old Testament. I thought about Abraham and what was said about him there in the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis, and there in verse 6. He said, and he believed in the Lord. Now notice what's in this. And he counted it to him for righteousness. Now people need a righteousness, and the righteousness that they need only comes by believing. It doesn't come by doing, but it comes by believing. I thought about how simple this truth is here in Romans 3 and 4. And I realized and I know that unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to you or shows it to you, you'll never see it.
Amen.
But to us that have been saved by the grace of God and see this truth, how plain and how simple it is. And how that sometimes you wonder about people that are always sitting under the preaching of the gospel and never come to the truth. But we must take in consideration that we're not the ones that make people to see this truth, but it's the Holy Spirit that enables them to see this truth. Habakkuk said in the Old Testament, he said, the just shall live by faith. And that's the same truth that we have here in this. Now, if you'll notice with me, in the ninth chapter of the book of Romans, now, there's a lot of people say they missed the boat. They missed the mark, or they missed the whole point, or they missed this truth. And Israel was guilty of this. Look in the ninth chapter, and notice with me there in verse 30 through verse 33. Now, what shall we say then that the Gentiles, now notice, which followed not after righteousness, now you got to understand what he's talking about there, have obtained to righteousness, and here it is, even the righteousness which is of faith. But now, look at Israel. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. They just kept, they were kept the law. This jot and this tittle, keep the law, keep the law. Nothing wrong with the law now. The law is holy, and the law is just, and the law is good for the purpose that God gave it. God never intended and never gave the law to save anybody or for anybody to ever have any righteousness. Wherefore, now look, here's the whole thing. Wherefore, because they saw it not by faith. Now how are you saved? How do you come to the place to where that God imputes the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ to you? Why, for by grace are you saved through faith. And listen to this, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, they would say, hey, straighten up over there. Here's something you better do. If you don't do this, you can't be saved. Or you'll have no salvation at all. I hear preachers on the radio preach like that all the time. And all they're trying to do is to get people to reform, to have a life of reformation. And that's not what salvation is. And there's never anyone ever been saved or obtained any righteousness by doing good. There's not. He said, but as it were by the works of the law. Now notice, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. Now the law didn't cause them to do that. Because the law is just, holy, and good. Verse 33, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So all they were doing was just trying to obey the law. That's all that it ever amounted to, many of them, and that's all that they ever had, was just trying to obey the law. And they never did have the righteousness, which is by faith. Because they never did come to the place to work. They saw their need of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our righteousness. And we know that this is only available through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because go back with me now to this third chapter and look with me in verse 22 down through verse 26. Look at this, 22 and 23. And this is a great truth. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, Well, there is no difference. Now, there is a righteousness this morning that's available. It's the righteousness of God. That's the righteousness. And it is only available by the faith of Jesus Christ. And that's why that, see, you don't have any righteousness and you don't have any faith.
Amen.
You need the righteousness of Christ and you need the faith of Christ.
Amen.
Faith is the gift of God.
Amen.
And so, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, notice, unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. It comes the same way. It's the one way. It's the righteousness needed. Jews need righteousness just as much as we do. And they don't get it standing at the wedding wall front. They don't get it there. They don't get it by carrying around the Old Testament and memorizing the Old Testament. They get it the same way we do, by the faith of Jesus Christ. Only way that they'll ever have any righteousness, have the righteousness of God, is by God's way. But then the terms are introduced. Now see, in verse 21 and 22 and 23, now look at these together. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. And here it is. For all have sinned and come short the glory of God. Now that's every person. Now look at the terms introduced in verse 24 and 25. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now these are the terms whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Now, there's some terms that are introduced to us here. One is justified. Verse 24, being justified freely. It means declared righteous in God's eyes through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly what justification is. Being justified is as if we had never seen it. It has nothing to do with our condition on earth. Nothing to do with it. But rather our unchanging position in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been justified, declared righteous. Justification is God's imputed righteousness that's put to my account. And that's where I stand this morning, and that's where you stand if you're justified God's way. So, and sometimes people confuse justification and sanctification. Now, sanctification is righteousness imparted or lived out in our daily life. That's the difference between justification and sanctification. So, the first term that's brought out is being justified. But then, look at this. Now, this is freely, and it's by His grace. And then through the redemption. Now here's the other term. The one term is justification and the other term is redemption. And this means deliverance from sin. Deliverance from the penalty of sin. And it came by paying a price. And that price was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary. We go down to verse 25 and we see another term. Now notice the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Now look where all this is. It's the righteousness of God. It's God's righteousness. And this is which is by faith of Jesus Christ. And it's to all that believe. And then and all are in the same condition. And then it's justification freely, that is by the grace of God. And then there's redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And there ain't no redemption anywhere else but in Christ Jesus. Now look, this brings us down to verse 25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. Now this is the Godward side of the cross.
God's holy law was satisfied when Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and did it. He made it possible for God to forgive lost sinners. And we can say this morning that God's justice has been satisfied. But look at this verse 24 through 26 again. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, if you go back up to verse 24, being justified freely means without a cause, in the sinner. There was no cause in you for God to save you. No cause whatsoever. That completely deletes you of every bit of pride, everything that you might want to muster up as an individual, as a man. No cause whatsoever in you. The cause was in God, with God. The cause is never with the sinner. But the cause is always with God. That's what it means, being justified freely. That means, and of course we know what grace is. It's the unmeritable favor of God. And it brings out the same thought or the same idea here in this passage of Scripture. And this was by His grace that we were justified freely, and explains how God can be both just and the justifier. And you've got to know this. If you don't know this truth here in verse 24, you'll say God's not a just God. But this verse 24 declares unto us and shows us that God is not only just, but God is the justifier. And there's nobody else beside Him. In other words, nobody can say, God has no right to do this or to do that. We know that Paul goes into detail on that. The ninth chapter of the book of Romans, we know that. But this is the problem today. When God saves one person and God lets another person go to hell, God's just in doing that. Because both of those sinners are on the same footing. They're on the same basis and they're on the same ground. They're both just as much a sinner as one is as the other. But the cause of the difference is with God. Amen. We must understand. Verse 26, the cause is in Himself. To declare, notice, I say at this time, His righteousness. See? Declare His righteousness. We don't have any righteousness. You don't have any righteousness. That He might be, it tells us, that He might be just. And that He might be the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So the cause is not in the sinner. It's not because of your works. It's not because of your good deeds. Now verse 25 also teaches, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God in the ages before the full revelation of the gospel of Christ. But yet at the cross He gave a full display of His wrath against sin. Christ's death provided a redemption for sin that had merely been covered by the blood of bulls and goats, Hebrews 9:10, which could never take away sin. God made a full display of it. And that's what that propitiation is. Now, how is this? We see here, this is clear. We see we don't have no righteousness. We see that we need righteousness. How does a person get this righteousness? How do they receive this righteousness? Well, verse 27 down through verse 31. Look at this. Where is boasting then? Oh, man. All of us, by nature, are prone to boast. We're proud creatures. Every one of us are. That's part of our depravity. Now look, where is boasting then? It's excluded. I tell you, I'm leery of these testimonials that have a big capital I.
Now you hear people always giving their testimony. Well, they say more about themselves than do the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think that they didn't need it, need the Lord or anything, time to get through. But now, where is boasting? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, how are you going to get this righteousness that you need this morning? It says, is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. I believe that we see that this righteousness is received by faith. Boasting's excluded. It does good every now and then to get out of this rat race and just worship the Lord. We're too busy to worship the Lord. We are. We really are, and I'm so ashamed. Aren't you? He's the God of the Jews and Gentiles. That means they're saved the same way. Verse 30. Seeing it is one God, the God of righteousness, the righteousness of God. Seeing it is one God, that's Jehovah God, which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Now I realize and I know that it's the same faith, but I realize it's by and through. I realize that. It's talking about Old Testament people. It's talking about New Testament people. It's through faith. But it was the way that God had for that faith for them. And then what we have by grace through faith, and faith is given, and righteousness imputed. Now salvation does not cancel the law. Faith does not cancel the law. The law demanded death for sin. Christ died for our sin. The gospel establishes the law. God's law reveals my need of grace, and God's grace enables me to obey the law. No wonder we sing, oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I am constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a feather bind my wondering heart to thee. I thought about a good imitation song would be this. Free from the law, oh, happy condition. Jesus has died and rose. You know, we don't think about that. That's a great invitation to come. Free from the law. There are so many scriptures that teach this freedom. Now, scriptures speak of freedom from the constraint and the bondage of the law. I'm just going to notice some of these right quickly. Verse 31 is one of them. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid we establish the law. Another one is in the 6th chapter of the book of Romans, and just notice these verses right quickly. Verse 14 and 15. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law but under grace. Verse 15, what then shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid it. Now look at that. Verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end of everlasting life. 7th chapter and verse 6 says this, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. The 8th chapter and there in verse 4 says this, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. We are not free to live a lawless life. And that's what that's saying. Now freedom from the law as a system, that is the curse and the penalty, by bearing the curse and the penalty for us, Jesus did that, we're freed from the law and its claims as a method of salvation. But this is not by making his obedience, and of course this was by his obedience and merit for us, but this does not free us to live a lawless life. It's just the opposite of that. So we see that we're freed from the law as an outward foreign compulsion,
And this does by giving to us the spirit of obedience, the sonship, by which we realize that we're saved with the word of God.
And I wonder this morning then, now, here's how it is if you're here and not saved. Let me explain. You have a righteousness, but that righteousness is not sufficient for you to be able to stand before God. Now you have a righteousness. You have a righteousness. But it's not the righteousness that is sufficient or the righteousness that you need. You need the righteousness of God. Now you have righteousness, but that righteousness you have, and it's the same righteousness all of us have, is a filthy rag inside of us. It's of no value, it's no good. Alright. Then the only way that you can ever stand before God is you must have the righteousness of God. And then that comes by the faith of Jesus Christ. So you don't have righteousness if you're not saved, you don't have, and you don't have any faith. Now you have faith as a person. You can have faith in an individual that if you jump off the chair, that person will catch you. But that's not the kind of faith, that's not saving faith that we're talking about. You don't have, you have a righteousness that's not sufficient. You have a faith that's not sufficient. You need the righteousness of God and you need the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, and the only way that you can have the righteousness of God and the faith of Jesus Christ is for it to be given to you. It's a grace. It's a gift. You can't do anything to cause God to give it to you. Not a thing can you do. You're totally dependent upon God. And so, how this works is, the Holy Spirit causes you to realize that your righteousness is filthy rag. That makes you see your sin. You see that you're lacking in faith. You have a faith, but it's not a sufficient faith. And the Holy Spirit causes you to realize and see that you need the faith of Jesus Christ. And so the Holy Spirit then enables you that you might receive the faith of Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And when you receive that faith of Jesus Christ, then you also receive the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there you are. There you are. You're able now to go boldly before the throne of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have the faith of Jesus Christ. And you have the righteousness of God. Brother, that's what salvation is. That's it. And this morning, we pray that, and that's why I always say this, we pray that it might please the great God of heaven, that he would, from these verses of Scripture, show you how wretched and how dumb and how sinful that you are and how that you need Jesus Christ more than anything else. And only God and the Holy Spirit can do that. And he does do it. He does do it. Some of us here are living witnesses. And I'm so thankful for the faith of Jesus Christ. My faith is so weak. My faith, there's times it fails me. But that's why we're kept with the power of God through faith, ready to be revealed at the last day. When my old faith fails me, the faith of Jesus Christ takes over. And how thankful. And not only that, but I have the righteousness of God that's been imputed to me. Charged to my